Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
And yes, happy Friday. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Friday here on HealthyLife.net Radio. I'm your host, Jay Cruz, and we are about 48 hours, I think 52 hours to be technically correct, from Super Bowl 58, kicking off in Viva Las Vegas, Nevada. Currently home of the Las Vegas Raiders, maybe soon the Las Vegas Athletics, Major League Baseball team. Some interesting developments that were said this week from the Las Vegas mayor about, yeah, maybe you ought to stay home. Might be better for you. Even though the Raiders have worked out successfully in Las Vegas, moving there, they become the like 9th or 10th most valuable franchise in the National Football League. But they're not playing. They're hosting. And the stadium for Raider fans will look a little odd with 49ers and Chiefs names, you know, depending on your take as a Raider fan. Either the Chiefs have been your longtime rival since the 1960s when those two teams were playing for AFL championships, or the 49ers, who got more coverage and a little more love in the San Francisco Bay Area. So anyway, that's what's happening. By all accounts, it should be a great game. These two teams did play a couple years ago. The Niners had a lead in the second half, and Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs did come back. It was an opportunity for Jimmy Garoppolo to hit a wide-open Emmanuel Sanders with not a lot of time left in the fourth quarter. That would have put them ahead at the time. But nonetheless, that is history. And coming up this Sunday, we will see history made once again. To me, the Super Bowl is my favorite holiday. Now, yeah, I know it's not a holiday. We don't get days off. We don't get double time. And even though the Super Bowl is a big event, and many of the Super Bowls have ranked in the highest viewed shows in history, they get about a 30% share of the viewing audience, roughly, maybe a little more. So basically, 2 out of 3 people are still not watching the biggest event going on the day. But the numbers are spectacular. We've heard the ratings, the commercial buy for many of these companies is, I think, $7 million for a 30-second ad. Now, if you got $7 million, you could pretty much be a main sponsor, maybe even an owner here at HealthyLife.net. Who knows? But a lot of the casual fans will be talking about the commercials. It's nice that we have things like YouTube where you might be able to go and see some of those commercials, both before and after. For folks like me, who are all about the love of the game, you know, those are slight distractions. I don't like going to big Super Bowl parties where there's more than 4 or 5 people, and usually those are very, very close friends, and, you know, we already kind of know, you know, what teams are rooting for or not rooting for, and we're going to concentrate on the game. And, you know, we'll enjoy the halftime show because, you know, live music is live music, whether Usher is your cup of tea or not. There's a lot of people out there that think Taylor Swift is performing at halftime, and I don't see that happening, even if it's, like, been kept under wraps, because she's performing in Tokyo, Japan, and will only be at the Super Bowl because of her relationship with number 87 of the Chiefs, Travis Kelce. And that's he's got to pay her back for that. I mean, that's a whole lot of love Taylor is showing to fly back from her gigs in Tokyo. You know, it's like a 15, 16-hour flight. And they're like a day and a half. And I spent time in Asia, in Hong Kong. So that was the one Super Bowl in my life. And I've been watching them since Super Bowl VI, That was about the first one I really was kind of cognizant, sort of what was happening and knew it was a Super Bowl, although I didn't kind of understand the magnitude. But, yeah, I remember it was in Super Bowl 14, Steelers and the Los Angeles Rams were playing. Kind of a home game for the Rams, if you will. It was at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. Of course, Pasadena's a big city here in Southern California, big suburb and part of the Los Angeles County and community. Vince Ferragamo was the quarterback, and the Rams are leading at one point, I think going into either halftime or fourth quarter. And the Steelers came back and won the game pretty handily. But it was interesting. I was in the middle of my school day on Monday, and, you know, there were people getting updates from the United States about the Super Bowl. And that was a very interesting time. But nonetheless, I'm going to talk about that Super Bowl in a way. Kind of the big story, the Chiefs are the defending champions. The Niners are kind of maybe the public champions. Are they either of these teams becoming America's team? The Niners' popularity, especially in the West Coast, even here in Southern California, is huge. And, the Rams and all sports, San Francisco, Los Angeles, it's a natural rivalry, kind of like Boston, New York, two cities similar, close together, although Boston and New York a lot closer together than out here, obviously. But there's folks like myself who have either grown up in one part of the town, moved to the other, grew up in one part, went to college in the other, you know, or their significant other grew up, you know, did the same thing. So there's a lot of, families and friends, even the same family, might not be rooting for the same team when it gets to the San Francisco-LA rivalry. But the 49ers are way popular, even up in the Northwest and a lot of places where there aren't teams, and even some of those. A lot of, folks moving out of the Bay Area, too. It used to be different. Folks move into the Bay Area, and they would bring their rivalry with them. So that's a kind of a sign of the times. But Kansas City is going for, I think off the top of my head, this might be the 16th time in 58 contests that there's a team that has a chance to repeat as champion. And it's happened a few times where the team that's going to repeat gets knocked right off their perch. There's been a few teams that did succeed. No team has won three in a row. There have been teams that have been to either three or more, four in a row. Denver Broncos, had been to, we'll get to it here in the stats. Buffalo, of course, had gone to four in a row and lost, and two of those were to, one team. But the chances of repeating, when you're number one and you're the champion, you got a bullseye on your back. Nobody is not paying attention to you. You're no longer sneaking up on people. Kind of like maybe the Detroit Lions did this year. A lot of inside fans felt that they finished last year very strong. They won the majority of the games in the second half, even though they lost the majority in the first half. But they finished strong, and they carried it well into the playoffs and to the regular season. They were able to get a number three seed. They might have got a number two if a couple things went a little different here. And they might have made it to the Super Bowl had they done a few different things against San Francisco. That was a pretty close game, and Detroit was pretty much had it in hand, and a couple second guesses, maybe taking a field goal at a certain time would have maybe helped their cause. But nonetheless, the Niners, by coming back, certainly proved they deserve to be here, and they've been a strong team all season. The Chiefs, the champions, they've been champions before, and in recent years are on a heck of a run. Patrick Mahomes has been in the playoffs each and every year, and not just the playoffs. He's made it to the conference championship or the Super Bowl. These are, numbers kind of like Tom Brady-esque if you were to look at his long-term career. But teams that have repeated as champions, let's start at the beginning. The Green Bay Packers, they defeated the Chiefs in Super Bowl I in Los Angeles, and Super Bowl II, they beat the Oakland Raiders. And that's where the Raiders played at the time. A lot of the teams that did repeated back in the 70s, which also, screams at how different the game is today with free agency and things that just make the game a little more competitive. Back then, There was no free agency. Teams that were good could keep players. They would draft a guy. They would groom him to be a, you know, train him and teach him in, you know, the team's philosophy. And, you know, they're backing up already talented guys. And when the other guys got old or got hurt, up steps the next guy. Now, the game is very specialized, and, you know, free agency happens to the point where, you know, look at the Chicago Bears. They are in a situation. They drafted quarterback Justin Fields. You know, he's been in the league a couple years. It's time for his rookie contract to run out. And, you know, normally when the player or a coach is entering their last year, they want that security and don't want to be thinking that they're going to be a, you know, a lame duck, or, you know, if they don't have an extension or a contract that, you know, if they get hurt, they might not get re-signed and stuff like that. And all of this is kind of true. So instead of keeping that guy and training him, grooming him, teaching him more, getting better players, getting a better coach, you know, the Bears may, they may trade him instead of continue to work with him, draft a rookie who has, I mean, Justin Fields had a lot of potential when he was drafted. What's to say the next guy won't, you know, have some degree of success and some failure and, you know, not quite take over and set the league on fire. So, you know, now the move is to draft a younger quarterback especially, and use the fact that they're on a cheaper contract and build a big team around them, where back in the day you'd keep that talented quarterback as long as you can. So Green Bay, they had, there they are, they're the first team to win a Super Bowl and were repeat champions. And they might have won three in a row, because I think they won the Ice Bowl game, which came before the Super Bowl, and that was actually the NFL championship. And again, the 70s, more repeat teams. The Miami Dolphins, this is probably the first Super Bowl I remember watching. They played against the Dallas Cowboys, and yeah, Cowboys beat them pretty bad, 24-3. I remember watching it and go, well, number one, thought the Dolphins had great uniforms. That aquamarine is just a special color when you're watching it as a kid. And even today, they think they have great uniforms. Yeah, it represents the city for some reason. It's a good color for Miami and those majestic sunsets. Anyway, I kind of felt sorry for the Dolphins, going, oh, they lost the championship game, but they, you know, they're good enough to get there. And anyway, so I decided I would start paying attention to the Dolphins. And then little did I know, around the corner from me was a family that was related to the offensive line coach, Monty Clark. And I've mentioned that last week. I talked about the Lions playoff game. You know, he was coach of the offensive line for the Dolphins, later head coach of San Francisco 49ers, and then Detroit Lions, which is, you know, one of the playoff appearances in the Lions' history. And they also, missed field goal cost them that game as well. But, you know, it was ironic that that connection happened, you know, from, you know, in addition to me going, well, that was kind of, you know, we're talking football or playing football on the street. And, you know, I'm like, yeah, I like Miami. I really felt bad for them losing the Super Bowl. And he's like, well, hey, my uncle happens to be the offensive line coach. Miami repeated Super Bowl, so they went to three in a row. Super Bowl VI, they lost. They came back and went undefeated. And if you want to check out that documentary, I think it's on ESPN. ESPN Plus subscribers can check it out. That's all I'll say about that app. It's pretty good, about the perfect season, the Miami Dolphins. And Don Shula, you know, winning as coach, only undefeated team in history. You know, even with Bill Belichick, recent release from the New England Patriots, you know, it was still like at least two really good seasons from catching Don Shula. Andy Reid is like 100 games behind him, or close to that, and he's like the next guy closest. Don Shula, quite the coaching legend, undefeated. And then in season 8, Super Bowl 8, I think they only lost two games. And then the following year, they went all the way to the I think that was the game where Oakland beat them in the Sea of Hands, but Pittsburgh ended up winning after that. So Miami wins, goes 3 years in a row, wins two, 7-8, and then the first Steeler championship teams emerged. They won Super Bowl 9 and 10. As you know, Bradshaw, Franco Harris, Lynn Swan, Stallworth, the Steel Curtain. Then we go a couple years where Oakland wins 11, Dallas wins 12. Dallas goes back in Super Bowl 13, repeat champions, kind of like the Chiefs. And they play their nemesis team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, who had already beat them a couple years before in Super Bowl X. That might have been the first Super Bowl quote-unquote rematch. So Pittsburgh ends up winning 13 and then 14. That's when I was overseas in Hong Kong. Didn't see that game because they didn't have it on TV in Hong Kong. And that was when the Steelers came back here at the Rose Bowl. And so you got four teams that have repeated so far in 14 years, and then it starts to thin out a bit. As I said, you know, it's been a while since it's happened. Washington, then they were the Redskins. They won Super Bowl 17, defeated Miami, and got beat in the next one by the Los Angeles Raiders as they upset Washington trying to get a repeat. And I always kind of gave Redskins fans, Washington football team fans, a hard time going, you know, that was the strike season when you won that Super Bowl, so that one doesn't really count. Let's put an asterisk next to that one. San Francisco 49ers repeated, 23 and 24. I might have the exact numbers off of the Super Bowls as I was just writing this down. There was a period in, up till probably I was about 30, 35, where I could remember every single Super Bowl, and it's tough to remember 60 of them nearly after all these years. But the Niners got two in a row and were close to going to their third. That was when the New York Giants upset them, and then they encountered the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo Bills, a remarkable team. They went to four Super Bowls in a row, and they unfortunately lost four in a row, and that's the most kind of most amazing streak. You got to feel sorry for them not getting at least one in there. The last two that the Bills lost were to the Dallas Cowboys, who were coached by Jimmy Johnson, and they won three out of four. There was a year where the Niners slipped in. That was, I think, Super Bowl 29. And the Niners beat the San Diego Chargers at that time. That was the Steve Young-led 49ers. And that was the last championship for the 49ers, who at that point had won five, including two in a row. And they won 16 and 19, not back-to-back, but fairly close together. It was interesting because in the Bay Area, they would win, and the Raiders would win, and the Raiders, and then the Niners would win. It was like they just switched back and forth. It was kind of a cool time. So right after that, the Green Bay Packers, Brett Favre emerges. They win. They beat the New England Patriots, and they're going to win their second in a row. They were a 14-point favorite. Everybody thought they were going to win. They played the Denver Broncos. And because the Broncos at that point had lost, I think, four Super Bowls. Because they also lost to the Niners, who got that second Super Bowl. And that was what Denver lost, three out of four right around there. It was them and Buffalo going in and just getting beat up by the NFC teams. Denver won that one, 14-point underdogs, and that was the Super Bowl that I made lots of money, even though I was totally going for the Packers. I won a lot of money on the office squares, where you don't have to know anything about the game. You just hand someone your money. They collect it all, and then you have at the top, random numbers are picked, and then a column goes up and down. Let's say the number 2, then maybe the number 7 or 5, and then back to 1. And there are certain numbers that are more desirable because of the way scores happen in football. And I had some of the worst numbers. I know a 5 was one of my numbers, and that's like, that's not even realistic till someone gets up to like 35 points, you know. So maybe I was thinking I'd score at the end. But no, I ended up winning quite a bit of money. The first half, third quarter, fourth quarter, it just seemed to work out. And the way the numbers were, I had to root for, I was like, you know, I was rooting for Green Bay to win, but I'm going to make a lot of money if this game continues to go this way. So next thing you know, I'm doing a weird thing for me, rooting for the Broncos. And that was the game with John Elway doing the helicopter. He's running, trying to get a first down. At this point, Elway's, you know, pretty long in the tooth and desperate to win his first championship. And he's going for a first down, got hit, ended up spinning in midair from the collision, the way it hit with the defender, and ended up, don't remember if it was a first down, but, you know, pretty close. And at that point, you're like, there's no way Denver's going to lose this game because Elway's giving it his all. Then Denver ends up being a repeat team. And there's a lot of interesting things about that that Denver Bronco team. Number one, coach Mike Shanahan. His kid, Kyle Shanahan. It's a big Denver connection to the 49ers of this year. One of the running backs for the Broncos, Anthony Lynn. Who coaches the running backs for the 49ers? Anthony Lynn. He was the Chargers coach before the recent guy who got fired. I'm glad he's working with a successful team. He was a good coach. Thought he got a bad deal with the L.A. Chargers. But continuing, Brian Griese, he wasn't a starter. He was a backup quarterback. And he is the quarterback coach currently for the Niners. Of course, Elway was the starter. Griese took over after Elway retired, which he did after the after winning back-to-back, doing a helicopter. It's time. Elway said, I'm out. And, you know, of course, he, you know, like many football players, his body is not the same due to the game. You know, even as a couple years ago, I had read that he, you know, he needs help playing golf, just getting the ball out of the hole at the end. He needs a, like a cane to do that because of various injuries. But, yeah, he chose the path he did and lived a good life of glory there, went on back-to-back and one of the best quarterbacks of all time, not the greatest, but a good one. And then the last team that actually repeated, that was the New England Patriots, and they did that just about 20 years ago. Other teams that had a chance, the Patriots had a chance. They lost a game in the middle of going 3 years in a row, so they were close to a three-peat if they would have won the second one. That was when the Eagles beat them and Nick Foles. And that game, when he was filling in for Carson Wentz, the Patriots also were in Super Bowl 48, where they upset the Seattle Seahawks' opportunity to win back-to-back. That's when Pete Carroll should have just gave the ball to Marshawn Lynch. And there's been a lot of stories about that on some of the podcasts and YouTube. Specifically, I think it's Club Shay Shay with Shannon Sharp. He's recently been doing a podcast since he broke up with Skip Bayless. Good for you, Shannon. Skip Bayless is just he's a big name, but he pushes the wrong buttons on a lot of people, including the accusations that Troy Aikman was gay, whether Troy is or not. You know, it's sad to have a reporter, you know, bumping into your own business and whatnot. You know, Troy just kind of turns the other cheek when it comes to that. But Skip Bayless, he's trying to make a name for himself, came out with that one. Anyway, Shannon Sharp had Marshawn Lynch on his podcast, and Lynch was just talking about that play. Because everyone in the world thought, you got the best running back in the game, you got 1 yard to go, and why don't you give it to him like three times and get in there? They tried to get cute, throw a pass, and the Patriots are more than ready. So the Seahawks' chance to repeat didn't happen. And, you know, you look at that run, it's like the Patriots were in that Super Bowl, there's one in between, and then they were in, you know, three in a row and lost one, two of those, you know, in addition to 48. So that was an amazing run when you look back on that. You know, and the Chiefs are almost in a run like that now. They won their Super Bowl for their second Super Bowl a couple years ago. It's against the 49ers following year. Tom Brady out of New England and in Tampa Bay. They pretty much handled the Kansas City Chiefs on that day. And then the Chiefs last year, there was a year in between where the Rams and Bengals played. And then last year the Chiefs beat the Eagles in what was a very fascinating, entertaining game. We'll come back and talk a little bit about the different numbers and statistics and all-time history of NFL franchises in the Super Bowl. Look ahead to the game. And if we have time, we'll get to my fantasy baseball expansion draft. And if we don't, we'll be talking baseball forever and ever, amen, after football season ends, which is about 50-something hours from now. It's Fantasy Sports Friday. I'm Jake Cruz. We'll be back.
You know, when my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices. And it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
Fantasy Sports Friday, HealthyLife.net Radio. I'm your host, Jay Cruz. This is the Super Bowl 58 edition of the show. Now, let's just quickly run through and talk about the percentages of NFL teams in the Super Bowl and basically who has won the most in history. Two teams have 6 Super Bowl victories, as the Pittsburgh Steelers and New England Patriots. If the 49ers win this Sunday, they will join that class. We'll have 3 teams that have won 6 championships. Dallas Cowboys are currently tied with the 49ers at 5 apiece. Then you got Green Bay with 4. Of course, the first two. One with Brett Favre, one with Aaron Rodgers. The New York Giants in there as well. They had some great games back in the day. Lawrence Taylor, they beat the Broncos, they beat the Buffalo Bills, and they beat the Patriots twice with Eli Manning. Eli Manning with more Super Bowl, well, same amount of Super Bowls as his more talented brother, Peyton Manning. I kind of enjoy the work they've been doing on the Manning cast on Monday Night Football. Get some good guests. 4 teams tied at 3 apiece, and if the Chiefs win, they will emerge to 4. The Chiefs, Raiders, Washington franchise, and the Denver Broncos are all tied with 3. Again, if Kansas City wins, they will join the Packers and Giants at 4 Super Bowl wins. 2 Super Bowls for the Dolphins, the Rams, the Colts, the Ravens, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 1 Super Bowl for 5 teams, Seattle, Philadelphia, Chicago. Those teams have been in at least more than 1 Super Bowl, and obviously came away with at least 1 championship. 2 teams also joining them in their one and only appearance in the Super Bowl, Willie Namath, Super Bowl III, and Drew Brees with the Saints. Those teams 1-0 in the Super Bowl. 4 teams with no appearances or victories. Obviously, we're talking about the Lions and their droughts. They're one of them. The other 3 teams are basically, you know, semi-recent expansion teams. Houston Texans, who joined the league back in the 90s. You know, technically, the Cleveland Browns could be considered an expansion team. The Baltimore Ravens, if you don't remember, were the Cleveland Browns. Owner Art Modell wanted a new stadium, or he wanted to get out of town. He eventually got out of town and moved the team to Baltimore. The Browns fans were so angry with him and taking a history and all of this that they were like, you can leave and you can keep, you know, that, but, you know, you gotta change your name. So the Cleveland Browns currently are essentially an expansion team. They're younger than the Ravens, but the Ravens are the original Browns, if that makes sense to you. And the Jacksonville Jaguars also with 0. So Texans, Browns, Lions, and Jags. No appearances. Now let's get into Did I mention the Cardinals? I may have forgotten. Even the Arizona Cardinals have been at the Super Bowl. But we're going to get to it with percentages now. And the Pittsburgh Steelers are 6-2 overall. So that's the highest win total and the best percentage. The Patriots have been in 11 Super Bowls. They're 6-5. A couple of those losses came before Tom Brady, and a few of them with him, especially when it came to the New York Giants. But they lost Super Bowl 20 to the Bears, and the Bears' only victory. And they lost to Brett Favre's Super Bowl team. San Francisco 49ers are 5-2 in history. They won their first five, then they've lost to Baltimore and Kansas City. It's a pretty high 7-14 percentage, which breaks the tie over the other five-win franchise, the Dallas Cowboys. Although with the loss, they both fall to 6.25%. Dallas is 5-3. Trying to remember. Yeah, Pittsburgh beat them twice. And that pretty much cinches that. So the Giants are 4-1. You know, they have the two victories with Parcells and the two Eli Manning over Patriots. Probably the best of those was naturally when they knocked New England off the undefeated perch, because the Patriots had gone undefeated. More wins in the regular season for them than the Miami Dolphins at 16. They won the two playoffs to get in, so they were an 18-0 team, and Eli and the Giants beat them. That was a pretty crazy game. Raiders current coach Antonio Pierce part of that team. That's a great percentage, though, for the Giants. And their one loss came to Baltimore when Ray Lewis-led team on that impenetrable defense beat them. Green Bay is 4-1. That's a good percentage at 800. The Chiefs are currently 3-2 in Super Bowl history. They lost number one, and then they lost a couple seasons ago to Brady and the Bucks. The Washington football franchise is also 3-2. They won one with Joe Theismann, lost one with Theismann. Doug Williams was a quarterback, and Mark Rypien over the Bills. The Raiders franchise in Oakland, Los Angeles, now in Las Vegas, also 3-2. Although it's been 20 years since they've been back, and one of those was the victory for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who were coached by John Gruden. Don't have time to get into all the stories and shenanigans about that team in that season. Denver Broncos 3-5. Took them a long time to win their first. When they did, they went and repeated. Baltimore's 2-0. Many people thought they would be playing this Sunday, but for some reason, their offensive coordinator didn't want to run the ball against the Chiefs. I mean, the Chiefs do have a good run defense, but, you know, you gotta run the ball sometime, especially when you have a great running offense. Tampa Bay 2-0. They have defeated the Chiefs with Tom Brady and then the John Gruden-led Super Bowl against the Raiders. The Colts, who used to play in Baltimore, for those that remember that, are 2-2 in their Super Bowl history. Couple in Baltimore, most in Indianapolis. They lost to the Jets, and they defeated the Cowboys, and then Eli was 1-1. The Rams, St. Louis, and Los Angeles have both had a championship under the Rams' tutelage. They had losses to the Steelers. They did beat the Bengals. They lost to the Patriots. Yeah, the Miami Dolphins got their first two back in the day. They're 2-3 in Super Bowl history. The New Orleans Saints, 1-0. The New York Jets, 1-0. Then the Chicago Bears are 1-1. They lost to the Colts, and they beat the Patriots back with Ditka and the Fridge and Jim McMahon and all that groovy stuff. The Seahawks are 1-2. They have the two in a row where they did beat Denver Broncos, and they have the one loss to the Patriots, and they lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Some Seahawks fans thought the fix was in for that Steeler game. The Eagles are 1-3. Their victory came against New England a couple years ago. They lost last year to the Chiefs. They lost Super Bowl 15 to the then Oakland Raiders, and obviously one other along the way. I just can't remember at the moment. That was to the Patriots, I believe, Donovan McNabb. The Vikings are 0-4. The Bills are 0-4. The Bengals are 0-3. Two losses to the Niners, one to the Rams. The Falcons are 0-2. They lost to the Patriots and the Broncos, John Elway's final game. The Carolina Panthers have even been to two Super Bowls. They lost to the Patriots and they lost to the Denver Broncos. The Cardinals are 0-1. They lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers. That was a heck of a game. And an interesting, you know, trivia that Kurt Warner, who at that point was playing for his third team, you know, he had won with the Rams, was there to sort of mentor Eli Manning for a season, then ended up with the Cardinals, and they lost that game to the Steelers. Although, you know, it took some amazing defensive plays, mainly a 96-yard touchdown return by James Harrison that seemed like he's still running. And that was kind of the big play in that game. The Chargers 0-1. They lost to the 49ers, Super Bowl 29. The Titans lost to Kurt Warner and the Rams. And again, the Browns, technically with the Texans and Jaguars, are semi-new-ish franchises, even though it's just the Browns name that was a team before. And the Browns won many NFL championships, you know, back in the 60s. And Detroit, who those four teams have not had the pleasure of going to the big game. Fantasy Sports Friday, we're taking a break. We'll be right back.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Everybody down! Dwayne Johnson here. The earthquakes you see in movies are one thing, but real life is a completely different animal. Just because you can't predict an earthquake doesn't mean that you can't prepare for one. In the event of a real earthquake, you should drop, cover, and hold on. Visit ready.gov/earthquake and practice what to do to keep you and your family safe in the event of a real earthquake, and you'll be seen as a hero by your family and your loved ones.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
And we're back. Fantasy Sports Friday on HealthyLife.net Radio. I'm Jay Cruz. I kind of laugh at myself for some reason there as we return to the show. Super Bowl 58, about 50-some-odd hours away, 2 days, Sunday from Las Vegas. The opening line on the game was Niners favored by about 2.5. The line did move down to 1 point, then back up to 2.5, and currently is sitting at 2 points even. And either way, if you're either taking the Niners and laying 2 points, meaning they have to win by two, or taking the Chiefs plus 2 points, meaning they can lose by one and you'll still win, you're going to be laying the same odds or juice at minus 110. Now, for people that don't know what that is, let's say you're betting $10, you're going to have to put up 11 to win 10. If you put up $10, you'll get back, you know, $9 and something. Most people put down the 10 to get, the 11 to get back the 10. That's how Las Vegas makes its money. And even when it doesn't give you back 10, if you win, if you don't pay the juice, that's still how they make their money. Super Bowl Sunday, their biggest day. The college basketball tournament is kind of a big thing for Vegas, but you know, this is like their Christmas. That's it's at holiday levels for them. And having the game in Las Vegas has been a little strange this year. You know, it's no secret that people have been betting on football and all sports since sports happened. I mean, let's be real. It's kind of in the dark. Many of the old franchises of the National Football League, their owners were former gamblers and people that made a living off gambling. That's how they had enough money to buy a franchise. And the NFL back then, it wasn't popular like it is now. You know, college football was way more popular. You know, football essentially is a young man's game with the injuries, and the National Football League didn't have the influx of stuff that it does now with the TV and the sponsorships and all of that. So, you know, certainly grown. But if you read any history of the old NFL, you know, the Rooney family, they were in horse racing, and actually Art Rooney, you know, made money, you know, off a specific type of bookie that exists. He was known as a layoff man, where like let's say a bookie in Philadelphia is going, I got too much money on the Eagles. Can you take some of my action? And somehow they work it out where, you know, he would do that so that the other guy, they essentially want to stay even 50%, and they make their money off the juice, that extra dollar or that extra $10. You know, when you put up $100, put up 110 to win that 100, they, you know, most cases people might go, say you go one win, one loss, you're going to lose, you know, $10 of juice on two bets or whatever, and you know that adds up. So that's how the guys that own the Cardinals, the Bidwell family, they also were major gamblers too. The original owner of the Dallas Cowboys, Clint Richardson. So it's in the history books that some of the original owners and their families definitely made their empires off of gambling. So but the National Football League does like to keep integrity. They have, you know, rules in place. You know, for instance, all the players this season, they're pretty much banned from casinos this week. Now, it's one thing to say you can't go to the sports book or can't do any of the online gambling and stuff, but, you know, if you're in Vegas and that's kind of what's going on, and maybe you want to go relax, play a, you know, a little bit of blackjack, that really shouldn't affect your football. You know, I can see betting on sports certainly lends to the possibility you would be betting on or against your own team, henceforth the integrity by the NFL, although I wouldn't put the league past, now that there's a cozy relationship with the city that the Super Bowl is in, to, you know, make a call and see what can happen. The league does pay for the officials, the guys in the stripes, shirts, and I don't think there's a fan base in sports that doesn't think that when their team loses, the game was fixed. It seems like there's always a bad call against your team, and there have been some bad calls against all kinds of teams. It's not a one-way thing, but there are instances when you look into what is behind the numbers where you might go, well, that was very interesting. There was a game this year, the Kansas City Chiefs. Sunday night game, New York City. Yeah, the Jets were still relevant, but they were certainly slipping. Of course, their season just went in the tank. You know, there's the HBO Hard Knocks series, and you know, Aaron Rodgers and all the love that was going on in New York, and then he, you know, four plays into the season, his Achilles said, "Nope, I'm done." So their season was definitely in the tank, pretty much. Although they ironically won that game. You know, it was a bad season for the Jets. There was a game against the Chiefs. The Chiefs were favored by, it's either 8 or 8.5 points. They were leading by 3 points late in the game. They're driving. Patrick Mahomes is chased out of the pocket, and he runs the ball up the left side of the field from about the 15 or 20. He gets to the 10-yard line, and you're like, he clearly can score 6 points, touchdown, and the Chiefs can, you know, win this game with a little extra. And for the folks that happen to bet on the Chiefs, myself included, he slid and didn't take the touchdown. And they were saying what a great smart play it was, because, oh, now they get to, you know, kill the clock. You know, to me, the smart play is to score always. you know, throw F the kill the clock thing. I mean, if you score a touchdown and now you're up by 8 points, kick the ball back to the other team. They have to A, go down and score a touchdown. B, if they want to try a 2-point conversion, that's you know, two big plays in addition to the drive that they have to make to get down there. And then they have to score to have the opportunity to even consider going for two. Or if they go for one and then an onside kick. So you need something like three major miraculous plays. And I'm not saying it can't happen. The onside kick is the big one. That only happens, it's less than 4% of attempts that even is successful. Although the Lions almost had one in that 49er game. George Kittle wrapped it up. Still, you have to have a lot of things go your way. If you score and you're up by more than the touchdown, that to me is smarter play than running out the clock. Anyway, just my opinion. The ironic thing about that particular game is 95% of the amounts bet in Las Vegas and online and pretty much the bookmaking industry was exposed to the fact that almost everybody who had a wherewithal to lay down a bet took the Chiefs and were more than happy to lay those points. So just ironic how that happened to happen and how the announcers were, you know, praising the Chiefs for quote unquote making the right play. The money line on the Niners isn't a high percentage. It's -130. In that case, you put up $130 to win $100 or $13 to win 10 or any variable of that. The Chiefs on the money line, obviously they're the underdog, so it is lay down $10, you can win 11. Not bad. I had great luck on the Chiefs in the last two playoff games. In fact, I was on the Chiefs in all three of their games in the AFC. I figured they would beat the Dolphins. They covered the spread in that game. That was how I went. And then I went money line against the Bills and the Ravens, which, you know, in a regular season, I may have taken the points. I think there are 3-point underdogs in both those cases. But when it gets to the playoffs, you know, these little moral victories or, you know, sliding at the last minute to kill the clock, those things, you know, don't happen. Teams basically are out to win. And, you know, again, back to, I think, scoring more points enhances your chance to win. So I've had great luck on the Chiefs. They're at a +110. That might be the best value on the board. I don't think +2 points is a lot. I think the money line would be better because, you know, less than 2 points, this can go into overtime and, you know, someone might kick a field goal and I would decide, you know, basically that. And again, they're trying to win a championship and there's no style points really. And then the total, again, 47.5, not really, that's kind of an average score, you know, pretty much a predictable 24, 23-ish ballpark for where they think the game will lie. Super Bowls tend to go over once a team starts scoring. If it becomes a blowout, they usually don't let up, but somehow they've figured out something. They've shell-shocked the other team and just keep going, keep the foot on the gas, because, you know, both these teams are great at comebacks. I'd say the Chiefs a little better, because track record, Patrick Mahomes has done it more often. However, the last two games for the Niners at home, they did have to come back to the Packers and the Lions. So right now, they might be a slightly better comeback team. The Chiefs have been playing a little stronger and playing from ahead in all three of their, you know, playoff games down the line. Baltimore came close, and the Chiefs had a great play by defensive back Jarius Sneed to cause a fumble when the Baltimore Ravens receiver was just about to cross the goal line. So it's kind of tough to pick on that. I would side more on there's going to be more than 47 total points. I think it'll be in the, you know, mid-50s. But, you know, then again, sometimes when teams that are known for great offense get together, you know, these two teams also have great defense. You know, but the chances of both defenses shutting down, you know, both teams, yeah, a little tougher. And, you know, if one team gets out to let's say they score a quick 3 touchdowns and they're up 21-0, you can guarantee the team that's behind is going to be throwing and, you know, working their tail off to, you know, get as many points quickly as they can. And the team that jumped out to the lead is going to, you know, want to keep them from doing that. So those are some interesting numbers coming back. I'm going to quickly look up some of the prop bets for, there's, you know, certain players you can look at. They might get a couple, you know, will Mahomes throw so many touchdowns? Will somebody have so many yards? And then there's all the who will score the first touchdown. There's various prop bets. There's even silly prop bets like how many times will they show Taylor Swift during the game. So those are kind of always out there. Again, the Super Bowl, you know, if there's somebody is interested in maybe putting a bet on something, the bookies are going to give you some odds. That's what they do. And this is their Christmas Eve, if you will, last chance for, because people just don't follow and bet on the other sports as much. So this is Vegas's, you know, again, big Christmas Eve. We got a quick break coming up and come back to wrap up the show today on Fantasy Sports Friday.
See straight and save. These days, everyone seems to see things differently. But from your eyes, you can see straight and save. Right now, get glasses online at 70% off at Glasses USA. There's a 100% guarantee, too, on top brand men, women, multifocal, and even prescription sunglasses. Visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Glasses USA, and you will see straight and save.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices. And it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You could say how are you or get a fake tattoo. You could ask with an app if it works for you. You could chat on the game, kick off your flip-flops. You could ask on your couch while you binge watch.
Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Stuff, stuff, stuff. Where can I contain all of my stuff? How about this? The Container Store, the original storage and organization store. And I found their link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. They have containers for everything, including the kitchen, the bathroom, trash and recycling, traveling, spring cleaning, and dorm rooms. Just about everything you can think of to contain your stuff. The Container Store, right on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
And back for our final segment on Fantasy Sports Friday today. Jay Cruz talking about Super Bowl 58. Whatever happens, I hope you have a good time watching the game if you choose to watch it. And if you choose to just support your other family members or friends watching it, that too. You know, remember, it is a game, even though it is on a professional level. And yes, there are careers and jobs in the industry that, you know, obviously the game definitely has an effect on their balance. But, you know, in reality, whatever you're doing in your own life matters more to you. Guarantee Patrick Mahomes doesn't know about you. Not that he doesn't want the best for people in general, but, you know, sometimes being a fan is a little funny when people put so much effort into it. At the end of the game, you know, these players and us as fans should either be temporarily happy, probably that'll last a little longer. And, you know, if your team doesn't win, I don't know, give it 5 to 15 minutes and get on with your life. Pet the dog, you know, and just plan for other things. It is what it is. But did talk about one of, you know, there are some silly prop bets out there. It used to be, you know, they would take the number one NBA player for a while in the 90s. It was, you know, Michael Jordan. Well, Michael Jordan score more points than, you know, said team in the playoff that year. So you can probably find those if you look for those, but just some of the interesting props on a game. Now, during a regular season, I don't think they have these props or odds for every single game. you know, but some of the interesting game props, Kansas City total touchdowns, over and under 2.5. You know, over is slightly higher odds if you take that. So you can tell it's probably likely they'll score a little more than 2. Total field goals, 1.5 for the Chiefs. Again, San Francisco touchdowns total, same, 2.5 and 1.5. Although it looks like you pay a little more on the odds for the Niners on the over. 3 straight scores by either team. Will that happen? Will that not happen? Yes is -143. No is +109. That seems interesting. Time of the first score. Will it be over under the first 7 minutes? Under has higher odds. The Chiefs are known for scoring quick, and both teams are. The team to score last, they have higher odds on the Niners at -129. Team to score first, even money on the Chiefs. Going to pay a little bit extra on the Niners at -130. The race to the first 10 points. Again, San Francisco favored there, and a higher juice at -139. The race to 20 points. Good odds on the Chiefs at +117. That's actually better than the money line for the total game. So, you know, sometimes you might just be happy with something like that happening. Going, I'd like to see the Chiefs score 21, and then maybe the Niners come back and win. And it could be a race to 15 points is also on there. Will there be a safety? Yes is +850. No is -2,000. I'm not going to touch that one with a 10-foot pole. Maybe betting yes, just because 8.5% to 1 is a nice ratio. But 2,000 to 1? No, thank you. The largest lead by either team, over under 16.5. Will San Francisco score on their first drive? Yes or no? No is a bigger. And the Chiefs also same prop. No, -143, -150 for the Niners. Yes is a little bit less of a payoff. Will there be a defensive or special teams touchdown scored? Yes is a +200. No is a -270. Again, those are fairly rare, but anything can happen. Longest touchdown, over or under 39.5 yards. Either way, you're going to pay -114 on that particular bet. Any team to score 40 or more points, yes, is +519. No is way bigger odds at -910. Both teams to score at least 19.5. Both teams to score 24.5. First score of the game is a touchdown, yes or no? The team to score first wins. That's a simple yes or no. Team to score last wins. The yes is a big one, -250, because of course that could be last point at the end to win the game, overtime and stuff like that. Will the total point total be odd number? You know, the total is at 47.5. The half is there just to break ties. 47 would be an odd number. 48 would be even if you think about it that way. Will there be a scoreless quarter? Total first downs over under 39.5. Will there be overtime? Good odds on yes, long odds, heavy odds to pay on the no, like -3,344. Not going to take that one. Most first downs, Kansas City or the Niners. First drive result. Any other, could be a touchdown. We have any other, a punt, a field goal attempt, or an offensive touchdown for the first drive. Whoever gets the toss, gets the ball. They go down and score. That's an option. If they punt, that's a pretty low odds. Any other would be +750. Like, what if there's a interception or a fumble or any other? Scoring the longest touchdown is a prop. Scoring the longest field goal is a prop. Remember, the game will be indoors. It'll not be affected by weather or wind. So a long field goal certainly could happen. The team to punt first, the first team to get a first down, the team to throw the first interception, and team to gain the most yards are just some of the various props you can get. The game will be carried on the CBS network and the Paramount Plus app if you're going to be, you know, out doing things with the family and you won't be able to hang out at home with the chips and the dip and all the good beverages and friends and the big screen and all that stuff. If you're mobile, check it out on the Paramount Plus app. Have fun if you're going to a Super Bowl party, and be safe. Enjoy the game no matter what. I'm taking the Niners. I think they're going to win this one 30-27. We'll see what happens. We'll tune in next week for Backbeat Radio, where we will be talking a whole lot of baseball because pitchers and catchers are basically packing their bags and leaving to get to the warm places, Arizona and Florida, for Cactus and Grapefruit League baseball. Talk to you next week.